the hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to Qué Golazo, our live show here. Jonathan Johnson is in the house. We will talk about UEFA as World Cup qualifiers getting closer and closer. Two teams have sealed their tickets and make it to Qatar. And of course, Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal as they beat North Macedonia, with Poland beating Sweden as well. Jonathan Johnson, how are you, my friend?
Hey, doing well, thanks. Enjoyed a couple of days off back with the family in England, so that was a welcome break.
Oh, that's great. So you feel a little refreshed, or is it, do you need a holiday from your holiday?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when you're spending time with family, I'm not sure refreshed is always the right term to use. But no, it does a lot of good. I mean, especially with everything that happened with COVID towards the end of this year. So no, it came at the right time and allowed me to enjoy this international break.
Absolutely, my friend. Trust me, as a Peruvian, you always need a holiday from the holiday with your family. So I can empathize if that's really how you mean. Anyway, welcome everybody. JJ in the house, LME here. Thank you so much for being part of the family. Qué Golazo Pod. Please send those questions. Hello. And we can see already the comments. Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. LME Milrod, how's it going? Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yes, we are back. I mean, we've always been here, but live. Yes, correct. We haven't done a live show in a while. International break can be tricky, but don't you worry, everybody. We got plenty of live action. Champions League returns. We got the World Cup draw as well coming up later in the week. So plenty to digest. By the way, everybody, before we get into the show, we're in a good mood and have a $100 gift card from Paramount Plus to give away to one lucky viewer or listener today, because this also involves our podcast family. All you got to do with a chance to win is follow Qué Golazo on Pod on Twitter. So that's at Qué Golazo Pod. So follow us on Twitter, like this video. And all you got to do after that is write P plus along with either your Twitter handle in the live chat or the comment section. So just follow us on Twitter, like this video, and just literally write P plus in the live comment section with your Twitter handle. Don't include the at, because obviously that takes you to a possible YouTube destination. So make sure that you do that. I'll remind you once again later in the show, but it's a $100 gift card. If you want to watch Paramount Plus, Champions League, Serie A, CONCACAF, that's where you can do it, and so much more. And we'll announce the winner later this week. And if you're a listener on the podcast, you can do the same thing. Just Qué Golazo Pod, like this video, find it on our YouTube channel, and send us your handle, of course, without the ad. Right then, Jonathan Johnson, let's begin with Portugal. Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal are going to the World Cup. Nothing to worry about. Everything was said. I believe you predicted as such, as they hosted a North Macedonia side who quite heroically did tremendous things against Italy, but there were, it just was too much for this Portuguese side at home as they win 2-0 and seal their ticket to Qatar.
Yeah, I mean, I think I did expect North Macedonia to give Italy a tough time. I didn't expect them to beat them. So obviously, my prediction for the final playoff game was a bit skewed. But I'm not surprised, once we knew that it was going to be Portugal against North Macedonia, that this proved to be a bridge too far. I mean, I think North Macedonia, like we saw from them in that win over Germany a while back, and then sort of, you know, kind of becoming a bit of a neutral's favorite at the Euros, but not managing to go, you know, too far. Sort of had their moment in the sun with Goran Pandev, and then sort of faded away. It didn't surprise me to see it going a similar way here with World Cup qualification. However, I do think that the way that Portugal have qualified, you know, for the World Cup does show us that, you know, everything that we've kind of been saying about Portugal does still ring true. Yeah, I mean, ultimately they've proved themselves to be, you know, the strongest team in this path, but that doesn't mean that, you know, there's not still going to be a moment of reckoning for Portugal, you know, to come in the very near future. There's no guarantee just because they're going to Qatar that this is going to be, you know, a tournament that they can potentially, you know, target in terms of going far. In fact, given what we've seen from Portugal, you know, I think, again, they should be preparing themselves for, you know, perhaps just getting out of the group stage. You know, I don't really see them going much further than, you know, just about getting out of the group, because I think, and, you know, the last couple of days have reinforced this for me, Portugal still need, you know, major sweeping changes. I do believe that this will be Cristiano Ronaldo's last major international tournament. And I think as well, when you look at the way, you know, Portugal qualified against North Macedonia tonight, Bruno Fernandes getting both goals, it's almost like that moment, that passing of the baton is almost here. You know, perhaps it'll be Cristiano Ronaldo's final hurrah and he goes out in a blaze of glory. I'm actually more expecting it to be sort of a bit of a damp, a disappointing exit. But then again, we don't know who they're going to be drawn against in the World Cup just yet. But I still don't feel that there's much juice left in this Portuguese side, despite the fact that they've managed to get to the World Cup.
Yeah, no, some very good points. Cristiano Ronaldo obviously makes is going to go to his fifth World Cup, a pretty remarkable achievement. There are a lot of talent on this Portuguese side, of course, but they are always a tricky one to figure out. And I remember talking to Jaime Macias, Jonathan Johnson, regarding South America. And the thing about the World Cup is just make sure that you're entering your peak by the time you reach the World Cup, because we forget that, yes, qualifying to the World Cup, some teams do it in a remarkable fashion and you think, my God, they're amazing. You know, I think of teams like England, for example, who just like, you know, sail by to qualify. But then in the actual tournament, it's a little bit of a different scenario. And Portugal is such an interesting team. So I guess, you know, I think getting out of the group stages, it's all dependent on who they face. Of course, it's not out of the question, but I might have to agree with you, though. I think this team is talented enough to go as far as possibly one beyond the knockout stages. I don't know. But if they were to cause some mayhem, Cristiano Ronaldo, Jonathan Johnson. I called you Cristiano Ronaldo, Jonathan Johnson. Isn't that nice?
Same thing. I'm the Ronaldo of podcasting.
I think that's it. I think that's what it is. Exactly it. But if they were to go even further and how far they can go, Jonathan Johnson, they have to rely on more than Cristiano, who, I mean, Bruno Fernandes was excellent today. Do you see any other possible players that really could cause an impact to help Portugal at the World Cup?
I mean, like you said, you know, they do have a lot of talented players. I do think that they have a lot of aging players as well, but that doesn't mean that there's not a new generation of talent or potential talisman, you know, ready to step forward. I mean, one guy who I have the pleasure of watching week in, week out in Ligue 1, who I think, you know, is finally coming into his own after years of being sort of one of those promising players who never quite lived up to the hype, is Renato Sanches. And I think when he's back and available for Portugal, he can make a big difference. And if they've got him on song, because I imagine he will have completed a move, you know, by the time he's representing Portugal at the World Cup, you know, I think he could be a particularly important piece of that jigsaw. You know, there's a number of talented goal getters as well. You've got the likes of André Silva, you've got Diego Huta as well. So, you know, I think
Octavio looks very good as well, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there are some very, very exciting players in that group. You know, it's not all about Cristiano Ronaldo in the same way that it has been in the past. But I do still think that, you know, when guys like Ronaldo, like Pepe, like Rui Patricio move on, you know, they're going to be leaving some pretty big holes in that group as well.
Yeah, yeah. Hearing, you know, some comments regarding Fernando Santos, you can't deny what he has given to this side, but many think, Jonathan Johnson, this is kind of an intriguing take, that he's holding them back a little bit. What do you think?
I'd agree with them. I do think that Santos is perhaps one of the bigger issues with this Portuguese team. You know, nobody can contest, you know, what he gave the Portuguese with that Euro 2016 success on French soil. But you know, it's almost like they've not really pushed on since. They've scraped by the skin of their teeth a lot of the time. And you know, for me, I think that Santos, you know, he lacks a bit of the kind of imagination that you'd like to see from a Portugal coach with all of these talents at his disposal. It kind of feels like the only route to success with Santos is normally going to be defense-minded, you know, the result first, performance second. And, you know, sure, there's many examples of that in international football. Didier Deschamps with France, you know, being another, you know, so, you know, if you're getting the results, you know, you can't really argue with that. But the thing is with Santos since 2016, you know, he's not really been bringing in, you know, that many of those results. And to be honest, I'm surprised that he's still in the position now. You know, perhaps he'll feel vindicated by the fact that he has secured another qualification for the World Cup. But I really think that, you know, along with a number of the experienced members of this squad, it's also going to be Santos's final international tournament in charge. And I guess, you know, it's potentially an opportunity for him to say, okay, look, you know, I'm going to lead the country at this World Cup, and then I'm going to stand down. And perhaps that's the best way, you know, to enact these changes that, you know, Portuguese football at international level needs, you know, regardless of this World Cup qualification or not.
Well, the last three World Cups for Portugal was the quarterfinals, the first round in Brazil, and then the last one was the quarterfinals, and that was it. So we'll see how Portugal does in Qatar in 2022. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Robert Lewandowski, and most importantly, Matty Cash, is off to the World Cup as Poland beat Sweden. No Zlatan. We'll talk about that more with Jonathan Johnson. Make sure that you send in your questions if we have any Swedish fans and any comments. But que golazo! We'll be right back.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome back, everybody. Gigo Lasso here with Jonathan Johnson. Don't forget, we're giving away a gift card, $100. Just make sure that you follow us on Twitter at Gigo Lasso Pod. And in this live chat, all you got to do is write P plus your handle without the at. Very easy. Podcast or YouTube, okay? We want to give this away. Jonathan Johnson, Poland are in the World Cup. Robert Lewandowski scoring his 75th international goal. It was a well-taken penalty, of course, and now, God, are we happy for Matty Cash, huh? He's going to be at the World Cup. That's excellent. But no Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Some thoughts on this game, because before this, Jonathan Johnson, Sweden were on a roll against Poland. They've beaten them the last six, obviously, including the group stages at Euro 2020 when they won 3-2, but Poland overturns that in front of their own fans, and now they're at the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I think many people will point to the fact that obviously Poland got a bye to the final in this one, so only had to play one game instead of the two, you know, to make their path. But also at the same time, you know, really that's completely out of the team's hands, you know, given the political situation. And, you know, I think that this was always going to be quite a tight one. I think both teams had the quality to potentially, you know, go and get the result. It's just Poland who were better on the night, you know, and ultimately deserved to go through based on that performance and result. Happy for Lewandowski because, you know, quite often so much of, you know, the Polish hopes sort of live and die with him, whether he scores. You know, obviously he's extremely important for Bayern as well, but, you know, with all due respect to his international teammates, you know, the Polish national team, they're not at the same level as a lot of the guys he plays alongside week in, week out with Bayern. So for them to get to the World Cup, you know, I think is a big achievement. Delighted, as you said, for Villa boy Matthew Cash as well. You know, it's turning into a real international adventure for him since pledging his allegiance to Poland. And really, you know, disappointing for Sweden as well. I mean, especially given the way that they enjoyed quite a positive Euro. And I don't know, Sweden for me are strange because they feel like a team that are ready to move on from the shadow of their talisman. And they unnecessarily sort of brought back that dependence, you know, when he came out of retirement. I can understand that, you know, he was hitting form at the time that decided to knock on that door and listen to what Zlatan had to say with regards to a potential return to the international stage. It's not really worked out that way. To see him coming on for the final 10 minutes here, you know, it kind of begs the question, you know, what really was the point in Zlatan, you know, dusting off his boots and, you know, getting back on the horse internationally? Because I don't see where they go with him in the next 2 years. I think, to be honest, he's going to be struggling to nail down AC Milan, you know, for the coming season, given the struggles that he's had. And, you know, it kind of feels like it's the right time, you know, both for club and country to move on from Zlatan. And I'm not saying that that necessarily has to force Zlatan into retirement, but, you know, I think his time internationally is done, you know, and this result should underline that as well. You know, it's time to embrace this younger generation, these exciting guys like, you know, Isak. You know, and try to get a bit more consistency out of guys like Forsberg as well, you know, because there is, like with Portugal, you know, there is a talented layer of younger talent coming through, you know, behind some of these veteran presences. And I think it's the time to embrace that. And, you know, Sweden shouldn't be afraid of it, you know, and, you know, neither should Portugal as well, because I think both teams ultimately sort of, you know, perhaps 4 years down the line in two international tournaments time, you know, we'll be reaping the benefits.
Yeah. So you didn't see an issue then with him coming late and should have he come earlier, or maybe he shouldn't have even been there in the first place and give it to somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, there is a strong argument for not even having him there in the first place, because one, he's suspended for the first game. And two, you know, he's not really played that much with these guys over the last 10 couple minutes. Of years.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a question of chemistry. So I think, you know, if you're picking your squad of players for this game, I mean, sure, you know, Zlatan is a great presence to have in terms of his experience, but, you know, is Zlatan willing to just be there sort of as that experienced head and not playing some role? You know, I'm sure he wanted greater involvement than the 10 minutes that he got. You know, and I think if you're willing to give him 10 minutes, you know, why not give him 20? Give him, you know, half an hour, bring him on at the 60-minute mark. He's more likely to make an impact there than, you know, 10 minutes from the end when you're already chasing two goals. It's, you know, for me, I found that deployment of him a bit bizarre. Personally, if it was me and I knew he was going to be suspended for potentially the only game if Sweden didn't get, you know, through to the final, you know, I think that picking Zlatan, you know, was one, just almost like going a man short, really, you know, to this qualification path. So for me, as much as I love Zlatan and respect everything he's achieved over the years, I think this should really firmly close the book on his international career now.
Yeah, and, you know, Sweden are actually, they play not in, you know, they don't play in the system to favor Zlatan, at least at this very age. So there's that. There was a good question from Gerardo. I didn't forget about you. Do you think that Poland, JJ, had a bit of an advantage, fresher legs perhaps, just because they didn't have to play that extra game?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that there is an argument for that. But like I said, it's also out of the team's hands. I mean, you know, everybody took the same united stance, which is admirable against Russia, you know, given the aggression in Ukraine at this moment in time. You know, could it have been handled a bit better or perhaps, you know, made a bit more fair? We've already debated that with Mike Lahoud a couple of weeks ago. You know, and yeah, possibly somebody could have been bumped up to make this an even playing field. But, you know, when there's so much uncertainty about whether Ukraine are going to be able to play their game against Scotland that could potentially decide their path, you know, I guess it made as much sense as anything, really, to try and get as many of these teams qualified as soon as possible. You know, it wasn't the worst solution. It just perhaps, you know, was always going to work against the team that had to play an extra game to get to this point. And in this case, it was Sweden. But no, I think as well, Poland, you know, they've sort of been building towards this moment now for a few years. You know, we saw them be quite disappointing as hosts in 2012. You know, they've shown at times that, you know, there is some metal there in the squad. They obviously have, you know, enough talent because, you know, outside of Lewandowski, you know, you've got a bunch of other very talented players. Milik when he's fit, Zielinski in midfield, a player I really like, Cash obviously as well, you know, Szczesny who's been quite an underrated goalkeeper for the majority of his career. So, you know, I think it was time that you know, Poland you know, sort of got themselves here to the World Cup again, and now have an opportunity to do something in the group stage, because it's going to be you know, quite a difficult task for them. You know, they in Sweden know each other a fair bit, having come up against each other in the Euros last summer. But, you know, I think as well, it's always going to be slightly easier, you know, when that team that you're coming up against is a bit leggy. And that was the case here for Sweden.
Yeah, well, Poland are at the World Cup. Before I continue, by the way, with Europe, some updates. By the way, on Wednesday, we will have a good recap of Africa qualifiers. Obviously, a lot went on as Senegal, Sadio Mane, of course, the winning penalty helping another win against Egypt. There was a little bit of controversy as there was like a rave show, laser show from Ibiza in this game. Egyptian keepers were just getting absolutely blinded by everything. But Senegal are at the World Cup, and also Ghana beating Nigeria as well. And as we're talking, by the way, Morocco, it seems that they're on their way as well, as they beat the Democratic Republic of Congo as well. And Cameroon and Algeria playing a very tight 1-1 in aggregate right now, heading to extra time in that one. And Tunisia also is moments away from beating Mali, a very talented Mali, by the way, just a 1-0 there. So, but we'll keep you. We'll do a nice recap on Wednesday regarding Africa and, of course, South America, as the fifth spot is up for grabs in that one as well. Laser point gate. Yes, Joel. Excellent. Well done. Good stuff. By the way, don't forget $100 gift card. Make sure that you write your handle, your Twitter handle without the at on this live chat. Write P+ and follow us on Kegolasso Pod as well. We want to give this gift card away and we'll announce the winner later on. By the way, the other part of Europe, obviously Wales against Ukraine. All right. That's obviously later on, as Ukraine obviously deals with something far bigger than football, and as Russia's invasion of Ukraine continues to be a tragedy. But Wales is meant to play Ukraine later on, you know, in the next few months as well. And then the other side of that, by the way, the winner of that obviously faces Scotland. And here's our poll that we did earlier. Which of the remaining European hopefuls do you want at the World Cup? Wales, 36%. I feel like, you know, Gareth Bale probably had a big of an influence there. Scotland, just 18. And Ukraine, obviously, the story would be fantastic as well for them. So there's that going on. So those are the poll results. These are three intriguing teams, though, Jonathan Johnson. Wales, obviously, led and carried in many ways by Gareth Bale. Scotland, of course. John McGinn, by the way, scored a beauty today. Another good day for a Villa player. And Ukraine, obviously. We know how great they are, but dealing with something so much bigger than the game. But interesting poll there for those three teams, JJ.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think with regards to all of the teams, we chatted a bit about them last week. But Wales, I mean, I think that there's still that strong underlying sense of chemistry. And a bit like Portugal, they're sort of getting to the end of their current cycle and perhaps have won last international tournament in them with guys like Bale, with guys like Ramsey. You know, but when you have a talisman like Bale who can still perform like he does, you know, that's I think that's the difference between him and Cristiano Ronaldo. And obviously there's a bit of an age difference there. You know, but Bale, it's almost like he saves his absolute best for the international stage, and you can almost always you know, count on him to deliver a big goal at a big moment like we saw
it's
against
still
Austria.
Golf, right? It's golf, Wales, Real Madrid, right? Or is it the other way around?
Wales, absolutely, you know, first spot for him. Golf, and then, you know, anything else football related, you know, quite a fair distance back.
Yeah. 50 feet of crap, and then Real Madrid, right?
Yeah, and, you know, we'll see where he ends up next, because I think in order for him to be in his at his best, you know, ahead of the World Cup, assuming that Wales do actually make it, you know, I think he's obviously going to have to move on given the situation with Real Madrid. But, you know, there's a number of his teammates in a similar position to him at the moment. With Scotland, I feel, you know, they've come along so much over the last couple of years. And, you know, there's a real feel-good factor surrounding them. It's a real shame, you know, that they'll find themselves going up against Ukraine, or we hope that they will be going up against Ukraine, you know, depending on how things develop over the next couple of months. You know, but, you know, for Scotland to have this momentum stunted a little bit would be a massive shame. But for Ukraine, given the way that they performed at the Euros as well, given the solidity that we saw come in under Andriy Shevchenko, you know, it would also be a real, you know, tragedy for that to be lost as well. So, you know, I think only football can win, you know, assuming that that fixture gets played and one of those teams gets to face Wales, you know, to decide who ultimately makes it to the World Cup. But at this moment in time, I can't really, you know, make any sort of comments about Ukraine because we don't know what state even their squad would be in, you know, come this summer. But I think if I had to pick sort of between Wales and Scotland, the only two sort of who would be fair to pick between at this moment in time, I think I'd probably just fancy Wales. I was impressed with the way that they performed against Austria, although I wasn't particularly expecting that much from the Austrians. And I think that there is still enough. There's definitely still that hunger there with Gareth Bale and with that group, you know, to get them to Qatar and then, you know, to sort of go off in one final blaze of glory.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The collective unity of Scotland, led by John McGinn, who also can create a lot of magic in games against Gareth Bale, who, to your point, acts like two players sometimes when he plays for his national team. All right. So just a quick update on the teams that have qualified, by the way, okay, to the World Cup, because later on this week, we'll do a World Cup draw preview and all that stuff. And obviously, we're going to be building up a lot on Kevo Lasso regarding the World Cup as it closes in November, of course. Before you know it, it'll be here. But UEFA, Belgium, Croatia, Denmark, England, France, Germany, Netherlands, Serbia, Spain, and Switzerland are in. From Asia, Iran, Japan, Qatar as the host, Saudi Arabia and South Korea. By the way, Australia and United Arab Emirates play each other in June, and the winner of that plays the fifth spot of CONMEBOL, which is right now between Peru, Colombia, and Chile. But the winners in CONMEBOL who are going through to the World Cup are Argentina, Brazil, Ecuador, and Uruguay. CONCACAF, Canada, they're set. And USMNT, barring a massive goal differential against Costa Rica, should be in there too. And Mexico, all they need, I believe, is just a point, by the way. Oh, and the updated on UEFA, by the way, of course, that includes Poland and Portugal, of course. And from Africa, Ghana and Senegal. And I can confirm right now that Tunisia are in. They're part of that as well. And yes, Morocco, they've got a 5-2 aggregate lead. So they're in as well. Algeria and Cameroon are heading into extra time, so that's the only one. So, but Tunisia is in, Morocco basically in, and that joins Ghana and Senegal, by the way. And OFC, by the way, to be determined due to, obviously, all the issues they had during COVID as well. Interesting group there, Jonathan Johnson. Any thoughts on any of those teams that perhaps we don't talk about enough?
Yeah, lots to look forward to. I mean, I guess I'll weigh in on Canada because, you know, I haven't been part of sort of that the North American contingency.
Well, you are here, my friend, so bring it on. Tell me, what do you make of Canada? What do you make of them?
No, but it's such, again, a bit like Scotland, it's such a feel-good story. You know, I feel like I've been reading a lot of articles about them over the last couple of months, you know, to see what they've managed to do, you know, under Herdman, you know, the the first manager, I think, I believe, to lead a men's and women's national team to a World Cup. You know, that's
a pretty
fine achievement. You know, and to have done a fair bit of the legwork in recent months without Alphonso Davies as well. You know, I think that's to Canada's credit. And there's just so many exciting talents in that group at this moment in time. Jonathan David, you know, like Renato Sanchez, somebody I get to see a lot of playing for Lille in Ligue 1 at the moment. You know, and I just think that, you know, having them at the World Cup is going to be a fantastic story. You know, obviously another Anglophone angle for us as well to keep our eye on. And I just think that, you know, they're going to add some colour to the World Cup in a way that most people sort of my age have never really seen before, or at least won't remember. You know, so I think that that's definitely something to get excited about. Obviously going to be a shame to not have Italy there, but also, you know, it would have been a shame, or wouldn't have been the same without you know, Portugal's fans. And, you know, obviously I'm not the biggest fan of the way that they play under Santos, but you know, not having them there, there would have been a huge hole given the support that they bring with them. So just excited to see who else fills out the rest of the draw. And obviously, like everyone else, you know, looking forward to the main event later this week when the groups get drawn and we'll actually know, you know, who a lot of these teams are going to be facing at the end of this year.
Yeah, we're going to have a show as well that day. And obviously our team, including Jonathan Johnson, will be part of it. We'll let you know more details as the week goes along, but a lot of excitement. Obviously, as we are finalizing what the World Cup is going to look like. And just a reminder that tomorrow, Wednesday, we got a special show with special guests to recap all the drama from the nail-biting finales, including Africa and, of course, South America. Arriba, Peru. After this show, I'm going to be sweating some more glands and I'll probably be on the rug. So think of me, say a prayer for me, light a candle, because it's a nerve-wracking event. I'm very nervous, Jonathan Johnson. So hopefully you'll say a prayer for me.
I can tell. Well, you know what? I'm saying a prayer that you've got some Inca Kola in that fridge of yours, because I think your nerves are going to need it, my friend.
Yeah, but I got Pisco. I got Pisco, Jonathan Johnson. I need something a little stronger tonight. My poor American wife has no idea. Well, she does know because of what happened in 2018. So she's ready. So she's a Villa. She has to deal with Villa, Jonathan Johnson, and of course Peru. That's a tough combo, my friend. It's not easy.
Yeah, it's I mean, Villa and anybody else is always going to be quite a difficult combo, but Villa and England, yeah, I mean, certainly in my lifetime, not been that much to cheer about as well.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Well, Jonathan Johnson,
more,
I know
more,
that it's
more grief than glory is how we call it.
And let's capitalize grief as well for that one, of course. But Jonathan Johnson, I know it's late there for you. Thank you so much. Make sure that you follow his content, John_LeGossip. You can read all his stuff on CBS Sports, of course. And he actually wrote the explainer regarding the World Cup draw as well for CBS Sports. So make sure that you check that out. He's going to be part of the show as well later on, of course, as he always is every single week. My friend, take a rest. Take a nice sleep. Relax. Resuscitate yourself after seeing your family. Hope everything is all right. But all the best, buddy. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Thanks a lot, my man. And good luck tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Don't forget to follow us, Kegolasso Pod, on Twitter. You can still write your name right now for that $100 gift card. Of course, YouTube, like and subscribe. We keep building. We keep working towards 11,000 subscribers. Unbelievable. Not even a year old. And we do it all because of you. And we're on pods. Of course, everything. We got plenty to come, including World Cup international recaps. And we'll come back as well with club domestic action as it returns this week, and the Champions League next week as well. Jonathan Johnson, LME, thank you so much. Have a great, great rest of your evening or day. We'll see you next time. Till then.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.